The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by my upcoming book, The Wellness Trap. Break free from diet culture, disinformation, and dubious diagnoses, and find your true well-being, which is available for pre-order now. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order for its April 2023 release. That's ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. Welcome to Food Psych, a podcast dedicated to critiquing diet and wellness culture and answering your questions about intuitive eating and the anti-diet approach. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, journalist, and author of the books Anti-Diet, which is available now wherever books are sold, and The Wellness Trap, which will be out in early 2023. And by the way, on this show, I avoid saying diet culture stuff like weight and calorie numbers, but we don't censor swear words or other adult language, so listener discretion is advised.
Anti-diet revolution, we're for health at every size.
Hey there, welcome to this episode of Food Psych. I'm Christy, and today I'm answering an audience question about whether autoimmune diets really work. We'll discuss placebo effects and the problems with anecdotal evidence about diets, as well as the harmful side effects that can come from restricting what you eat. Before I answer, just a few quick announcements. This episode is brought to you by Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes a bamboo sheet set that is hands down the softest, comfiest set of sheets I've ever had. I was so grateful when they sent them to me to try because I haven't been getting enough sleep lately. Having a one-year-old at home, even though she sleeps through the night most of the time, there's still those nights that she just wakes up fussing with teething pain or a cold or just wakes up crying and then goes back to sleep, but then I'm still awake in bed. So I really appreciate bedding that can at least make the time I do get to sleep more comfortable and the time I spend lying awake in bed feel more manageable. These sheets are temperature regulating and incredibly lightweight and airy in addition to being super soft. So if you have a tendency to wake up too hot like I do, they can be really helpful. Get ahead of your spring cleaning with fresh new bed linens from Cozy Earth, ethically made from luxurious, high-quality fabrics you won't find anywhere else on the market. Cozy Earth has an exclusive offer for my listeners today, up to 35% off site-wide when you use the code FOODPSYCH. Just go to CozyEarth.com and enter the code FOODPSYCH. That's CozyEarth.com and enter FOODPSYCH at checkout. This episode is also brought to you by my upcoming book, The Wellness Trap, Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. The book explores the connections between diet culture and wellness culture, how the wellness space became a hotbed of scams, misinformation, and conspiracy theories, why many popular alternative medicine diagnoses are misleading and harmful, and what we can do instead to create a society that promotes true well-being. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order the book for its April 25th release. That's ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. And once you've pre-ordered, you can get a special bonus Q&A about the book by uploading your proof of purchase at ChristyHarrison.com/bookbonus. Now let's get into this week's question, which is related to some of what I cover in the book, specifically the lack of good evidence for many diets and other practices that are promoted in wellness culture, and the intense pressure that it puts on those of us with chronic illnesses like myself to restrict our eating. And just a quick content warning, there is a specific wellness diet that is mentioned in the question and my answer. The question is from Cassie, who writes, I've been following your podcast for years and originally found you because of a podcast episode you did regarding autoimmune disease and seeking actual medicine instead of changing diet, since there's so little good evidence for dietary changes. A while ago, I did a blood test for food sensitivities, and it basically told me that all veggies were inflammatory. On the one hand, I really, really want to believe that autoimmune disorders can't be quote-unquote cured by diet. At the same time, my rheumatologist has recommended several dietary changes that are pretty extreme, without any scientific evidence to back that up, other than patient testimonials, and those in a support group I follow also say that they've found relief from an autoimmune protocol diet. I have a history of binge eating disorder and still have a lot of shame that in all likelihood I wouldn't even be able to follow a really restrictive diet because I'd almost immediately have behaviors. Even thinking about it makes me nervous. It's so hard to navigate this feeling that I'm bringing this all on myself. It's just really sad and frustrating, especially when I don't feel good. Any advice? So thanks, Cassie, for that great question. Before I answer, I'll just give my standard disclaimer that these answers and this podcast in general are for informational and educational purposes only, aren't a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice, and don't constitute a provider-patient relationship. Also, this is just my take as one dietitian and journalist, and I hope you'll seek out other perspectives and consult your own inner compass as well. I've been thinking a lot lately about how integrative and functional medicine and other forms of wellness culture often claim to, quote unquote, treat the whole person, and yet they actually ignore a lot of our personhood. For humans, food is not merely a set of interchangeable inputs that can be swapped around at will without disrupting us in some way. Right? It's not like cogs in a machine. We all have relationships with food, and likely we'll have some feelings about being told that we can't eat certain things and we must eat others. Even those rare people who don't care much about food and wish they could just take a pill to get their food needs met are still inconvenienced by having to overhaul their diets. Food is culture, comfort, and connection. Food is fun and pleasure. Diets deny us those things, and in the process, they really disconnect us from the fullness of our humanity, of ourselves. I'd wager most people struggle to make the kinds of sweeping changes to their menus that wellness culture recommends, because these diets are basically asking us to be robots instead of human beings, right? So the first thing I want you to know is that you're not alone in having a hard time with even the idea of a restrictive diet, and there's absolutely no reason to be ashamed. The second thing I want to share is a little more delicate to explain, because I don't want to inadvertently shame anyone who feels they've found relief from autoimmune symptoms on certain diets. I have multiple autoimmune diseases myself, and I know how draining and painful the symptoms can be, though I'm lucky that these days my flare-ups aren't as bad as many people's are or as mine used to be. I understand how profound it can be to find something that seems to help, and I wouldn't want to take that away from anyone. That being said, in my years of delving into the research on diets for autoimmune disorders and other chronic illnesses, I've come to understand something that I think is worth considering, even if you feel that a diet has been helpful, and especially if you don't or if you're not sure. And that is, when we seem to feel better on a restrictive diet, often it isn't actually because of the diet itself, but rather because of a set of other factors that might make it appear that the diet was effective. These factors include the placebo effect, in which believing that an inert treatment will make you feel better actually does, and its close cousin, although a lesser known cousin, the nocebo effect, in which believing that something is bad for you, like a food, makes you feel better when you avoid that food and worse when you eat it. These effects really demonstrate the power of expectations and the mind-body connection to create real physical symptoms, and also to heal real physical symptoms when those symptoms involve pain and stress responses, because our endogenous opioid system is triggered by expectations that something is going to make us feel better. Another reason some people might perceive integrative and functional and alternative treatments to work is that many chronic diseases go through normal fluctuations or cycles, where symptoms will get worse, then better, then worse again. If it just so happens that a person's symptoms ebbed naturally right after a certain treatment, it can seem like the treatment was responsible when in fact it had nothing to do with it. This phenomenon, sometimes known as the natural history of disease, or the more technical sounding regression toward the mean, is a powerful confounding factor in anecdotal evidence about wellness treatments. It's even an issue in scientific studies, because people tend to enroll in studies when their symptoms are quite bad, so it's likely that no matter what treatment they're given, their symptoms are going to improve. Placebo and nocebo effects are also important confounders in scientific research on diets and on many other integrative and functional medicine interventions, because for these interventions, it's really hard to design a placebo that can fool study participants in randomized controlled trials. Usually, it's pretty easy for people to tell what kind of diet they're assigned to in the study. Typically, the researchers will explicitly tell people to avoid, say, gluten or dairy or whatever is supposed to be avoided on the diet being tested. And when people know what diet they're getting, they're going to experience placebo and nocebo effects due to their pre-existing beliefs about that diet. So the people in a study who are assigned to, for example, an autoimmune protocol diet will most likely experience a placebo effect. They'll feel better simply because they expect to on that diet. Because in wellness culture, we're conditioned to think that we're going to feel better if we cut out certain foods, right? And I think the more time goes on, the more we hear about gluten and dairy and, you know, other things that we're supposed to avoid, the more the placebo or nocebo effect holds true for those foods. And if there's a control group in which people are assigned to, for example, just continuing with their usual menu, those folks will generally experience a nocebo effect, meaning they're likely to feel worse just because they know they're not getting any sort of dietary intervention. If you really want to geek out about this stuff, you can check out the book Snake Oil Science by R. Barker Bossell, a former director of a prestigious research center devoted to studying complementary and alternative medicine, who went on to become a vocal critic of such research because of what he saw in that process. And his book is really, really fascinating in talking about the placebo and nocebo effects and how these things play out in alternative medicine research. As it happens, to date, there are actually zero randomized controlled trials of the autoimmune protocol diet. So even with the placebo effects that can sometimes happen in randomized controlled trials, we don't even have that, right? We don't even have that highest level of research related to the autoimmune protocol diet, according to a PubMed search I did on March 14th. Instead, there are three tiny, uncontrolled clinical trials with very short-term implementations of the diet, which is really not good evidence to support the use of any diet, though it may be grounds for further scientific research, right? So that's like proof of concept for researchers to study this in a randomized controlled way and try to placebo control things so that, you know, people don't know. But it's, again, as I said, it can be really hard, right? But that's not good enough evidence to recommend this diet to people clinically. The small numbers of people in these studies all received the diet, and many of them reported symptom improvement, which is exactly what we'd expect from the placebo effect. I'm all for honoring people's personal experiences of healing, and of course, science has its limitations, as we've just discussed. But one thing I think science does excel at when it's well conducted and repeated over multiple studies is determining why a particular intervention works. Whether it's because of confounding factors like expectations and the power of the mind-body connection, aka the placebo effect, or whether it's because of the intervention itself. And from what I've seen to date about the autoimmune protocol diet, there's just no evidence to support the claim that the diet itself has any benefits over and above the placebo effect. Again, this is not to take away from anyone's healing or to shame anyone for finding relief on these sorts of diets. I'm definitely not saying that the relief is, quote unquote, all in your head, right? It's actually quite the opposite. The relief is very real. But what I'm inviting you to consider, and especially for Cassie, who asked the question, is that anecdotal reports of symptom improvement you might hear about with diets like this often have nothing to do with the diets themselves. And if you're someone who has a history of disordered eating and finds it challenging to go on or even think about going on a restrictive diet, there's really no good reason to do it. The evidence we have now just does not support that choice, and your recovery and your overall well-being will likely be a lot better served by skipping the diet. So I hope that's helpful in thinking through your situation, Cassie, and thanks again so much for the great question. If you want to submit your own question for a chance to have it answered either here or in my Food Psych Weekly newsletter or both, just go to christyharrison.com/questions. That's our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're looking for help healing your own relationship with food and breaking free from diet and wellness culture, I'd love for you to check out my online course, Intuitive Eating Fundamentals. You can learn more and sign up at ChristyHarrison.com/course. That's ChristyHarrison.com/course. If you like this episode, I also have a new podcast called Rethinking Wellness that I think you might love. It features interviews with people who are thinking critically about wellness culture, including the diet culture, disinformation, and dubious diagnoses that are so pervasive in the wellness space, and how we can break free and find true well-being. Find it by searching for Rethinking Wellness with Christy Harrison wherever you're listening to this, and go to rethinkingwellness.substack.com to get it in your inbox every other week. That's rethinkingwellness.substack.com. A big thanks, as always, to our editor and sound engineer, Mike Lalonde, community and content associate, Vinci Tui, and administrative assistant, Julianne Watasek, for helping me out with all the moving parts that go into producing this show. Our album art was photographed by Abby Moore Photography, and the logo was designed by Melissa Alam. Our theme song was written and performed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs, and I'm your host and producer, Christy Harrison. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay psyched.